podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I get the feeling that you're admired, but
I'm above average.
Right, guys, and welcome back. This is Above Average FPL. My name is Adam, and as always, joined by Baker. How are you doing, mate?
Very, very well, mate. 3 days to go.
Very well. This is the worst week, mate. It's an absolutely terrible week. I hate this week. Yeah, absolutely terrible. You feel good before the game?
I do feel good, yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that. So hello to everyone that's watching on the stream. Hello if you're listening on the podcast. We're doing a North London derby kind of special today. We have got friends, I guess. No, we've got people. These guys have come across from the AFC Bite Size podcast. We have FPL Nima. Nima, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, man. Nice to be here to get my nerves settled before the big day.
Yeah, we're not going to settle any nerves here, I don't think. And then Clayton as well, who is at Clayt's AFC. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, similar to what you said, this is the worst week in terms of build-up and stuff. I just want to fast forward to Saturday, get it over and done with, and see what the result is.
You go to quite a few of them?
Yeah, I've been quite fortunate. I've been going to Arsenal, so I'm 27, been going since I was like 6 or 7 with my dad, and yeah, got a season ticket, so been to a few, seen a few losses, but a lot of wins as well, so yeah, fingers crossed it's one of them this weekend.
Not many losses at Emirates, unfortunately.
There are a couple, yeah.
Yeah. Nima, yourself?
Yeah, so I'll be going to the match as well. Really excited. It's actually my first North London derby at the Emirates. I've been to like most other games, but this one is always really hard to get tickets for, I find. So really pleased with that. I am very nervous. I actually just realized there's a train strike as well. So I'm just thinking, how am I going to get there logistically? But let's see, depending on the result. Yeah, exactly. If the result is good, I might just stay out the whole day and night. But if it's bad, it's going to be a long journey home with no trains.
That's it. Baker, North London derbies.
I'll be at home, mate. I'm not going to Emirates. I've got no intention of ever going to the Emirates. It's, go to the home games. It's fine.
Yeah, I've done a couple of the home games myself. Done a couple of them. Yeah. It's been a while, but I've seen... I was saying to Clayton, I've done two and I haven't seen us lose. So that's good. 12 goals. I saw us win 5-1 in a League Cup semi. And then I saw us draw 3-3 just before Real Madrid, or the week after Real Madrid pumped us 5-0 in the Champions League. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Easily my favourite goal again was, it was actually Harry Kane, but not probably the one that people think, which is the one where he rips the mask off and do all those ones, but it's the header 2015, I want to say, that was the header back across goal, and it just looped and it just took, felt like 10 seconds that ball was in the air before it nestled in the corner, but it was just the way he just got up and just was so dismissive in the way it went back across the goal, and it literally came at me, and just honestly my shins the next day from that was just wrecked. It was just chaos. But
I think my favorite one was probably the one winning the title at your place. I think that's got to be up there. Just got to get that in early doors. But yeah.
I have been to one at the new stadium as well. I managed to very luckily get to go to the one during COVID. It's when there was hardly anyone there. So that That was such a weird experience, being able to not only be there and feel like it was a private viewing almost type thing, but be able to hear the players during a game because there were so few there. That was a surreal experience. And that was one where we were under Mourinho, weren't we, at the time? And I was like...
Is that the 2-0, I think?
Yeah, and he was so well coached. It felt like, God, this is going to be amazing. And then it was just horrible. So yeah, it didn't quite work out under Jose, but Arteta just started then, I think, at the time. And, you're a very different team now, but they just sort of retreated into their shell, and they were very, very two banks of four, sit back, sit back. I kind of had the feeling back then that in the big games, Arteta would be defence first. But I'd be really interested tonight to hear if you think differently.
I'm above average.
Firstly, guys and girls, thank you for joining us. Whether you're catching up with the podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube, or whether you're with us in the live stream, we appreciate every single one of you. And that doesn't matter whether you found us for the first time here today, or whether you're a seasoned follower of the show. Above Average FPL is supported by our good friend Dan. He is at CryptoBlockDan on Twitter. Dan has been in the crypto space for many, many years, doing very, very well. And he's currently working as an analyst with a company who works specifically in play-to-earn crypto gaming. Now, if you're interested in the blockchain, if you're interested in NFTs and the use cases of the technology in the future, then please go drop him a follow. Go ask him some questions. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer anything that you need to know. If you haven't maxed out all your mini leagues yet, there's one more that you can join. That is UAT148. The auto join links are going to be down in the description below. Last year's winner, Jamie Pickett, is in there, so it must be a good mini league to be in, I would say. And we're going to shut entries at the start of the World Cup, so make sure you get in there nice and early and see if you can win it. If you enjoyed the content that you see today, there's a couple of ways in which you can support the channel. The first one is to like, comment, subscribe and review. It helps us promote the channel and it allows us to reach more and more people looking for weekly FPL content. Alternatively, Baker and I are really looking to grow the channel this year. We've had a great 12 months, but we're looking to take that even further. If you wish to support the channel in that way, you know, we have our YouTube memberships open now. We're looking to do maybe better content, more content, anything that we can make the FPL experience better for you guys. We are going to try and do that. Finally, once again from Baker and I, thank you very much for being here. And now we'll get back to the good stuff.
I'm above average.
So, yeah, so for those listening, in the last 10 meetings between Tottenham and Arsenal, 4 wins apiece, 15 goals apiece. XG average is basically the same, 1.38 for Arsenal, 1.48 for Spurs. Interestingly, in the last 10 home games for Arsenal, Arsenal have won 6, Tottenham have won none. And the last time Tottenham won at the Emirates was in November 2010, which I seem to remember us being 2-0 down in that game and then coming back and winning with a Yunus Kabul header.
Oh, was that that one?
Yeah.
Not a fun day.
And big then, Yunus.
Yeah. But interestingly, I wanted to see when the last time Arsenal actually won at Tottenham, and it was March 2014. So, you know, we're 8.5 years since you've won at Tottenham and, you know, 12 years since we've won at the Emirates. It very much leans towards home advantage, definitely. And in terms of just a couple of stats from this season, so XG for the season, Arsenal sitting at 1.83, Tottenham at 1.67, and XGCs of 0.77 for Arsenal and 1.01 for Spurs. So, you know, good for both teams. I think we can all agree, you know, that's been achieved in very different ways. For sure, in a very different manner of playing. And yeah, and the top FPL player so far, you know, almost we would expect Kane to be there at top of the lot after seven games there. So, but I don't think we expected to see Saliba top for Arsenal with 44 points. I don't think anyone expected that. So I think what I really want to understand from you guys is how, I mean, obviously it's been, or from our perspective, or at least from my perspective, you're playing a decent brand of football at the moment. How are you guys feeling the vibe around Arsenal right now and this season so far? Clayton, we'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think this is easily the most positive I've felt. Like, not specifically talking North London derby, just as an Arsenal fan, most positive I've felt for many years. I'd say in the Emirates era, this is the most united I've seen the fan base comfortably. Obviously, we're a bit of a laughing stock in terms of Arsenal fan TV coming out and how Wenger was treated in the back end of his reign there. But the vibe at the club's brilliant, to be honest. And I think it's, for those that have been watching week in, week out, it's felt like it's been little building blocks coming together. And I guess we felt like this is where we could potentially be heading. And I feel like the response from a lot of people that don't necessarily watch us week in, week out, they are quite surprised about how well we're playing and everything. But as a fan that watches week in, week out, I do feel like the building blocks were there for a while. And yeah, just it's so good. But I'm looking forward to, in a weird way, seeing now what this team is made of and using like the Tottenham-Liverpool game as a bit of a yardstick to see what this Arsenal team is made of. Because Yeah, I'm sure this will come up later. Like the games we've won so far, yeah, on paper you would expect us to win. But for me, it's been the manner of those performances and the consistency and I guess the sustainability of them. Like we've done this before. We've gone in periods of 5-6 games where we'll roll teams over and then we'll go and lose 2-3 on the bounce. And I think that's where I think this team is changing. But yeah, just as a fan, it's the happiest I've been in a long time. And like, this isn't even a dig. I've been genuine fortunate to see us win trophies in the flesh and stuff, but obviously that came in seasons where domestic like in the league we weren't really doing too well. So domestically in the league, it's nice to see us putting together some fantastic performances consistently, and I'm hoping silverware comes alongside that.
Nima, so just adding on to that, so you know, Clayton's mentioned building blocks. So what's, are we saying that the sort of the acquisitions over the summer have been exactly what's been required to sort of propel you that extra level that you've seen so far?
Yeah, so I think what I would look at is that it's a very young team. So like I saw a really nice graphic that shows the prime age of positions in a squad, like the average prime age of a player. And when you look at a lot of our players who kind of were key to us last year, like Saka, Martinelli, even Ramsdale in goal, they're kind of many years from even achieving the prime age for their positions. So we've gone and bought players like, say, Gabriel Jesus, who's at the beginning of the prime age for a striker. And that's something like, again, we've not had. So under Arteta's reign so far, I think he tried to make us more difficult to beat initially. And we focused on like trying to concede less chances. And I don't know if Clayton remembers this, but under Emery towards the end, there was like a game against Watford where they had 10 players. And they got something like 25 to 30 shots against us. And I'm just like how does that happen against 10 men? Like, just how? So I think we were essentially, for the first few years, we were trying to become more defensively sound, but we still couldn't create much. And we were relying on young players who, as we all know, young players have dips in form. They can't just play at an elite level always. So bringing in kind of winners, and I say winners in the sense that Jesus and Zinchenko, they both have 4 Premier League medals. They come from an environment where losing a match under Pep Guardiola is unacceptable. Whereas we come from an environment where we used to go goal down and everyone's heads drops. So I feel like having them in the team, like when you're like a young player like Martinelli and you're playing alongside Jesus and you see how hard he works to lead the kind of press from the front, that's got to rub off on you. Like you've got to think, okay, if he's working that hard, I need to work that hard. So I feel like it's almost like in the last 10 years, I'd say this is like a Alexis Sanchez style signing where when he came to Arsenal, he's the only player I can think of in the last 10 years that he just, every time he had the ball, he was explosive, constantly bombing forward, like creating chances. And he had this one season where I think he got like 35 goals, 18 assists in all competitions. He was fantasy gold. I'm sure we all remember like the double game weeks. And for me, that's the kind of signing Jesus was. It was Arteta's first attacker, to summarize. It was like, that's the first true attacker he bought that he didn't inherit. And with that, he brought players who come from an environment where losing is not acceptable. And I think that kind of stuff is good for young players to learn, because obviously like they're young, right? Like what have they won so far in their career?
Yeah. So then does that not create a relative confidence going into this weekend's game then?
Yeah. So I'd be lying if I said I'd be happy with a draw. If this was away from home, I would probably be like, okay, like I'd take that draw, especially seeing the stats here about last wins away. I think being at the Emirates, knowing that the crowd is more united than it's been in any recent time that I've been there, as Clayton says, it's the first time where there's actually like a positive atmosphere. Like, you know, we were called the library for so long, and now there's like new songs being made every week for different players, and there's like good vibes that just weren't there. So I think I've seen us like go down a few times this season, and we respond quite quickly compared to prior years. Like we almost tried to, I think it was against Fulham maybe, or Villa, one of them, like we scored both times that they scored, we scored like within a minute. So it's like, that just wasn't the Arsenal of old when we conceded. So I do think there'll be goals in this game, as the numbers here kind of point to. I'm not going to give my prediction just yet, but I'm expecting a thriller. I hope it's entertaining. I'm quietly confident, but yeah, I'll be pretty disappointed with a draw. I'm not going to lie. I just put that out there.
I can tell you've never been to a North London derby.
Jesus Christ. It's like, I'm excited. And you're like, you're going to be there with my hand in, my face in my hand on match.
There's some way you can get into a bad spot. Like the Robin Van Persie one where he came off the bench at the old White Hart Lane when we were winning. I think he had like 12 shots in like 10 minutes. And Aurelio Gomez has never played better in his entire life for that 10 minutes. I genuinely at one point caught myself that I hadn't breathed in a long time and was literally like, suddenly I was buzzing. And I was like, oh yeah, breathing. But like so lightheaded, it can get you like nothing else being there. So I am jealous of you being there. I do hope you have a terrible, terrible day.
Agreed. So from a Tottenham perspective, Baker, what are we thinking? So you know, obviously we've improved over the last 18 months considerably. I think we talk enough about, you know, the way that we're going to, the way that we approach games, generally speaking. We were talking yesterday about what we would expect from the lineup, and we've got the lineups coming up, but do you think Conte needs to approach it slightly differently this weekend versus any other game, or do you think he'll just go, nah, I'm going to stick with what I know? And
I said to you yesterday, I find it very hard to imagine Conte goes differently. Like in my mind, he just goes 3-4-3 and it goes back and it's Kulusevski, Son and Kane up top. But he could do, couldn't he? He could do differently. We have got the option of playing an extra midfielder. We have got Richarlison. We've not really had those options, and we do have them. I don't expect him to use them. I really don't. I think he's very loyal to certain players and will trust them in games like this. So I think, I think he just relies on the quality.
Be a case of knocking the door down as much as possible. Using those, what's the word? Automatisms? Is that the word?
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially just to create the space that we need to attack.
I do think as well, like, For me, when I watch Arsenal and I've owned him a considerable amount of last season and a considerable amount of this season, but I do think from sort of Christmas onwards and still forward now, I think good strikers against Aaron Ramsdale is a disaster waiting to happen for Arsenal on a regular basis. Like, I think he's a bad shot, like, positionally bad, you know, and therefore if you're a good striker, you will beat him. And I feel like that's our best chance this week, is that you take enough shots for him. And I don't know, like when he started the season last season, he was just so on it and he was big. And start this season, like the first two games, he made a couple of big saves, but they're big saves. They're not positional saves. They're scaring the crap out of the attacker saves, in that he just goes big and hopes that they do bad things, you know, and stuff like that. But I just feel like he's easily beaten at the moment.
I would enjoy that.
I don't disagree with that, to be honest. I think maybe a little bit harsh, but his consistency is something that worries me. But it's also something I've kind of made peace with because of his age. And I think it's something that, I think as long as you sort of, as an Arsenal fan, have those expectations slightly lowered because of the age, and you expect that inconsistency. But for where we're trying to get to, I'm not sure you can rely on that, if that makes sense. And yeah, we've said on our pod a few times, like, I'm very wary of trying not to be overly critical, but I think sometimes you have to have constructive criticism, right? And some of his positioning is so mind-boggling, and
it's weird, like, isn't it? It's like you're like, why are you there? Because it's not like he's so I probably said that wrong. He's a very good shot stopper, but if you're not in position to even give yourself a chance to make that save, then you can't make it, you know. Like Son and Kane hit corners, you know, so if you're in the wrong position, you're like, well, I just can't get there, you know. And that's I don't know, is it a concentration thing or something? But that's the I guess if it wasn't for Ramsdale at the moment, I would definitely not be confident at all. But and you know, I think Gabriel's been a brilliant leader for you at the back, and I'm like, I don't like coming up against him.
He, in my opinion, is the weak link in the defence. That's my unpopular opinion as an Arsenal fan. Yeah, more not defensively, just like his ability on the ball. Like he's okay. He can pick out a pass and stuff, but his first touch, sometimes his concentration levels, like a lot, it'd be interesting to see statistics on this, like errors that have led to goals and stuff. But I do feel like sometimes teams target him. And against Man United, Nima pointed this out. I hadn't clocked this because I was in Italy, but teams will press and they'll kind of let him have the ball quite a lot. And even, I think it was against Fulham, Mitrovic
wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's not a one-off. That's happened a few times now in his career at Arsenal. And Arteta, I think I've heard you guys talk about this and like the left-footed centre-back being quite important for the angles it opens up and build up. But obviously he's got his strengths from set pieces and stuff. But yeah, in terms of him being the leader in defence, I don't know. I look at him as a bit of the weak point personally. Yeah,
it's a weird one with him. I think because there was always the debate, right, that Tomiyasu would eventually get back into right back, and then, you know, everyone thought White would be dropped because of the left footed centre back being Gabriel. He's the only one. But we've had this kind of theory that if that time comes, we may see Arteta test Saliba and White both at centre back at the expense of Gabriel. So it doesn't feel like any of that back line is actually safe to invest in, apart from Saliba, which, as you said, at the start of the season, who would have thought that like this 4.5 million centre-back coming into the league who's like 20 years old would be like literally the best defender at our club?
Do you think that, like you talk about the vibes and the stuff, what do you think came first? Do you think the song came first for Saliba or the vibes came first? Because I just feel like, just the fact that he has that song makes the whole crowd like suddenly noisy. It's annoying.
I definitely take your point. It's definitely been the vibes first. Like it's, yeah, I don't, the Emirates, like Nima said, it's been a library for years, and there's so many, where my season ticket is, it's in the upper tiers, like off the halfway line, and the sit down brigade used to be out in full force. I was like, oh my God, like you're literally at the football, like don't tell me to sit down and stuff. And now it's so, how do I say this politically correct? During COVID, they offered people to have like a season ticket holiday, and the crowd average age kind of reduced. It was quite a young crowd, and I think that's what's really helped. And there's a young group, I'm sure you've seen them, the Ashburton Army. They wear their black t-shirts and stuff. I'm not going to get involved in that, but what they have done, which is brilliant, is they get together, they're all in one little area, Arsenal coordinate with them, and that's kind of helped ring around the stadium. And then the Saliba song came out at Bournemouth, and as James from Planet FPL pointed out to me, we weren't creative. It was from Basuma at Brighton, which I didn't realize, but
we started listening to videos from where were we? We were away at, it was early in the season, I think it was early in the season, we were first away win or something like that. We were singing for Basuma as well, that song, and then like the following week Saliba scores. And then, like, that song has just vanished. I mean, like, it doesn't help that Basuma doesn't play. But,
Ruined that for us, isn't it? If he just played in first game, we could have held on to it,
but no.
You might see him this weekend, by the way. You might see him if you play that midfield free. You never know.
Well, should we go on to lineups then? So let's move off of this and go on to lineups.
Can I just ask one quick question? Sure. You asked us about, like, how we're feeling about the vibe and, like, Arteta and stuff. How do you guys feel about Conte? Obviously, from the outside, we have like our opinions on style and stuff. They're keen to hear from Tottenham fans, and obviously you pipped us to fourth and stuff. And yeah, how are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I mean, Conte is a very results focused manager, right? He was brought in to come and basically take us out of the depths of hell that we were with Nuno, and actually, you know, allow us to believe that we could do something last year. And he played it down quite a lot. And just quietly went about his business of trying to prepare the squad and trying to improve each person in the squad and improve the way, you know, that we move the ball around the pitch. And, you know, to an extent he did that, and he obviously you know, that was evidenced at the end of the season. Well, we were a bit fortunate in that you guys obviously bottled it completely, which was nice. And so, you know, we've all seen the Amazon documentary. We've watched it as well.
Don't worry about that. I regret the question now.
Yeah, we've watched it as well. Don't worry about that. And so, you know, I think fourth place was kind of justified for us in the end. You know, I think we did enough, and you know, we were a bit more expansive than we have been this season. This season feels like we've brought players in, and I think that's kind of just slowed everything down, because it's meant that Conte's had to almost retrain different players as well, and you've got different players coming in. So, you know, if I look at like Longley and even Perisic, that was accidental. you know, to get him to, you know, fit alongside the squad as well has obviously been a challenge. I still don't think that Perisic is fully in tune with the squad, but he is, you know, he's doing his sort of mentor type job for Sessegnon. We can see that, and there's still some failings, some shortcomings, I should say, in the squad. And unfortunately, that's in the first 11, where we probably could improve on one of Højbjerg and Bentancourt, and I think we could improve obviously on Emerson Royale, because we just don't have anybody else to fill that spot. I mean, I think if Jed Spence was 2 or 3 years older and had come from a Premier League club or somewhere else, we'd be absolutely screaming to get him in straight away. Even if he'd had that sort of season, I think Conte would have wanted him in that position immediately. But it seems to have had this kind of championship season where he's obviously done well out on loan from Middlesbrough. Like, he wasn't even at Forest. And I think that's just Conte saying he was a club signing, etc., has kind of slowed everything down as well, dampened things a little bit. But at the same time, defensively, we are a lot better. We are better at moving the ball out of defence and building up play from there. We're better at filling in the space when we're under attack as well. If you look at our XG per shot conceded, we are in like the 99.7th percentile of all teams from a defensive point of view. So we just don't concede big chances at all, which is really good. And there just needs to be a bit more spark up top. I don't know. I mean, Andy Sinaldo said something about, you know, Perisic hindering Son, and there's just some connections and relationships up there that aren't just quite clicking. I don't know whether you'd agree with that, Baker, or anything else to add on that.
I do. I think we won't know this for like months and end of the season and so forth, but there's kind of a bit of a school of thought that Conte, when he's playing in all competitions, tries to kind of do the minimum to win games. Like, he's like, I want to just outlast everybody, and I'll just keep doing it, and I'll just stay in the fight. Like, treats it like a 12-round title fight, and he goes, let's not over push these things until he has to. So if they're losing a game, he's like, yeah, fine, let's go for it and stuff like that. But other than that, he kind of wants to control. Proof's in the pudding, you know, is when it comes to May, if it's in a good space, then you go, well, fair enough, you did time that in a good place. And obviously that did happen last season. You know, he does know what he's doing from it. We can have confidence. We just look at bowling XG and all sort of things, and we've never been as good as we are currently, which tells you he's a great manager. But it's difficult. He's a difficult character, especially when someone plays so many, what do I call it again? Automatisms, how we say it. And a lot of Spurs fans really struggle with the way that Conte plays. So we basically say you can have the ball. Yeah. And there's very, very few teams in the top echelons of the game that just say you can have the ball to anyone, not just...
Athletic is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, it is. Simeone and Conte are probably the only two that just say, go on then, have the ball. We're not gonna press hard, and we're not going to try and dominate possession. What we're going to do is we're going to dismantle you. You know, it is that kind of things, you know, again, boxing terminology, but it's more the Mayweather than it is, you know, the way of playing. That is, if you make a mistake, we've got top quality players and we will hurt you. And we'll try and do stuff that we feel will give us the best opportunity to exploit that. And one of the ways we'll do it is let you have the ball, let you spend time with it, reduce you to kind of pot shots and stuff. And then when we spot the opportunity, we will go hard. And so we accumulate XG through big chances and stuff like that. That's all good when you're winning. But there's a chance that we lose against Arsenal, because we often lose against Arsenal. And then, hey, you've lost a game. You've also not had any possession. You didn't dominate the game at any point. And it's like...
Yeah, that's probably miserable in a game like this. I mean, I brought the graphic up of control zones just as you were talking about it, mainly because you can see quite clearly, you know, that those spots in red are where the opposition dominates the ball in that area of the pitch, which is basically everywhere but our own box, just outside our own box, and then Emerson has it on his own in by the corner flag, and then everything else is kind of
just short goal kicks, isn't it? Lots of short goal kicks and those things.
And then you compare that to Arsenal, who dominate large areas of the pitch, and you know, maybe they don't. I guess that back, left back position is mainly because that's not where Zinchenko's standing when for most of the time. So he's maybe wrong side of the ball, perhaps, and pulling back into position, and but otherwise it's completely dominating that central space, and you know, that's probably what concerns me most about how even we are predicting us to line up, and it's something that we've seen. You know, we played against Wolves, it was a problem. First, we played Fulham, it was a problem. Where we've just had, you know, we just get overrun. Chelsea was obviously a big problem.
Chelsea
game in particular, thinking about it, you know, we get overrun in that midfield, and you know, neither Højbjerg nor Bentancur are that real anchor. They're kind of like a six and a half, not really like a six that just sits in there. They're kind of like this six and a half slash, you know, it's not a traditional seven who we all think is David Beckham on the right hand side, but it's, you know, he's in between a six and an eight, so they don't really fill that gap space properly. Especially against the better teams and teams that are well set up against us. So, should we go into lineups? So, how?
Just before that.
Last time, Nima. I was going to do lineups.
This one will be quick. So, this one's just in terms of like where I think I see us potentially getting joy, just based on these control zones, especially as I think our best opportunity will be if Perisic is pushing up the pitch to create for you, for us to then have Martinelli take up the space that Perisic isn't in and give the ball to Jesus in the center. So I feel like that's our best chance. And then we have obviously players like Odegaard who like to get the ball in the central zones. Whereas for you guys, I do feel like you said about Bentancur and Højbjerg, like I don't feel like they want to play through the middle. So it's almost like whenever I've watched you this season, they kind of just want to get the ball wide as quick as they can. So I do think that Kulusevski probably will play, as will Perisic, because I can imagine you're going to use kind of Perisic to break through our lines and attack our weaknesses as well. Because as you say, like one of our fullbacks doesn't even play fullback, basically.
That's it. If you look at this area, I mean, I've highlighted the Martinelli versus Emerson Royale kind of matchup. But as I've mentioned, that red space, I mean, Kulusevski in behind, driving in, carrying the ball into that space, that's a good thing for us. I mean, that's out of all the spots, there's not many areas where teams dominate the ball against you, but I would quite happily allow and let and have Kulusevski, you know, in that area to cause problems, create issues, be a nuisance, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, which we may not see if we played a three in midfield, because we'd be reliant on Emerson Royale to do that.
I think Kulu plays, mate. I feel like the best, doesn't matter in my opinion, Tierney or Zinchenko play, like you can get Palace is, they just go look back at that Palace game. Is the one time where I felt this season that Arsenal were really struggling was that first 25 minutes, that second half, when, you know, they doubled up, sent Zaha over there. I think Ayew was up there to start with it, and they just kept attacking it. You had to take Zinchenko off in the end.
I mean, Mike saying the fact that we've been able to control every match this season and you haven't been able to will be the difference. I mean, I'd say that, but we haven't lost a game yet.
And it's exactly that. It's what I'm saying is that we're just a weird team. Like, you will watch the game and Arsenal will dominate the pitch and it's okay. And that's a really weird thing for Tottenham fans to get used to, is that it's okay to look really bad.
Do you know what my worry is? Everything we've said logically points to like Arsenal dominating the ball, but your record against City, if we say Arsenal are a version of City, obviously a worse one, but your record against City is fantastic. Like, I feel like it's two polar opposite styles, but it suits your strengths. And so I think the football we play is high risk, high reward. And I don't doubt that we will create opportunities and be in areas of the pitch to be able to hurt you. I also don't doubt that you on in transitions and on the counter attack, you will be in pockets of space where you guys are one of the best ball carriers in the country, right? And I think that's the thing. It's although it's opposite styles, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for either team. So it'll be interesting to see how it.
I think it's going to come down to the simple execution at the end of the day. It's like counter attacking meeting possession based styles, and the winner will be the one who can execute. And obviously, we couldn't do that against United. Like we had 16 shots and did absolutely nothing with it. So. They were very clinical with their chances. So I think, you know, talking of City, I almost feel like Spurs is a team that's been built to beat City. Like whenever you play them, like you are the perfect, they are your perfect opponent to batter them, and you do it year in, year out. But then when you go against, say, like a Burnley or a low block, that's where it doesn't suit you. And I think that was one of the questions you had earlier is, would, and this is probably relevant to the lineups, is would Arsenal change their plan knowing that, you know, if we sit back, if we make a low block, do we just try and suffocate you from even having a counter? I think maybe in previous seasons we may have, but I think this season we'll stick to like the formation. I don't think some people were talking about like, oh, we should do a back three against Tottenham. And I was like, it's just not going to happen with Arteta. Similar to what you said about Conte not changing.
You'll be front foot. You're at home. There'll be expectations.
Yeah.
So I can't see you changing that for us.
Not a chance. No.
Right. Lineup. Can we go there? Can we go there? Are we sure?
Go.
Right. Tell us how you're going to line up then, boys. Take it away.
Yeah, I think 10 of the 11 probably picks itself. So there were rumours that Odegaard, Partey had knocks, but Odegaard played for Norway. Partey supposedly been back training. I'll go sort of back to front. So Ramsdale in goal, back four of White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko, midfield three of Partey, Odegaard and Granit Xhaka, and then front three of Saka, Jesus, Martinelli. Saying 10 out of 11 because what we've kind of touched on in transitions and where people have targeted our sort of left-back zone, Zinchenko versus Tierney, they're both supposedly fit. Tierney impressed against Brentford. I actually thought, I think it might have been the Fulham game. Tierney played that kind of inverted left-back role and he really struggled with it. But one thing I said was, I thought it was a combination of he is a traditional fullback, right? He hugs the touchline, he's up and down, but match fitness as well. He looked really out of it. And I do feel like these are things you notice in the stadium versus TV. Like he was blowing after a couple of sprints. And then Brentford, he came in, he played more of a traditional role and Martinelli went a little bit more inside than usual, but Tierney looked a lot more comfortable. So I think he's given Arteta a headache there for the weekend. On what you guys have said, I just think we're at a point now in this evolution of what we're trying to become where we just go for it. We play our best possible team and we take the game, like how Arsenal used to do, right? Try and take the game to the opposition and worry about proactive plans to stop transitions. And I think that's why we'll go with Zinchenko. I think we'll look to dominate the ball. The one thing I'm not going to try to pronounce that word, autonomisms.
yeah, that was automatisms.
We do that a lot. And the one that you see so frequently and where the relationship is the most symbiotic is Xhaka and Zinchenko. They're on autopilot rotating between zones. And I think it really confuses people. And I think Zinchenko, while defensively, he's probably not the best in that back line, what he gives us in possession is so, so important. So that's why I think he'll go that way. But I don't know what you think, Nima.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards Zinchenko. And then if we manage to like grab a lead, I could see Tierney coming in to try and like protect it. But he has given Arteta a big headache there. I just don't see a world in which Zinchenko doesn't start if he's fit though. So I think it's going to be this 11. I think this was the same 11 that started like the first 3, 4, 5 games for like the first time in decades. So he clearly like this is his ideal team. Just on that note, though, what you did say is obviously from an FPL point of view, which one of the fullback starts really impacts Martinelli? Because when Zinchenko plays, Martinelli is at his best trying to, you know, just sprint past the opposing fullback into the byline and cross the ball in. When Tierney played, Tierney's occupying the space that Martinelli wants to play. So although you would think it's a good thing Martinelli's playing more centrally, it means he's much tighter with the defenders and he has less space than what he's used to. So yeah, he might get like a scrappy return from like a ball bouncing towards him and he's centrally located. But I actually think Martinelli would do better with Zinchenko in the team. So with that in mind, I would much rather see Zinchenko to get the best out of Martinelli against Spurs back line as well, personally, and especially from what we've seen in terms of like the control zones earlier.
Yeah, one thing on Zinchenko as well is, like you guys said, I think Tottenham kind of willingly let teams have the ball, right? And you don't give up high chances. And I think what Arsenal have got better at this year, where so last year against low blocks, I was like, oh, Jesus, we're not breaking them down. Because everything last year had to be like a perfectly curated goal with Lacazette up top. And we were so heavily reliant on our right-hand channel with, it was kind of a triangle with Tomiyasu, Odegaard coming in that right half space and then Saka. But this year, as you've shown in that control map, we're more well-rounded. And I think why is Zinchenko, Martinelli, that link-up so important is, I think to break down a team like you guys, there's not going to be space. You guys don't give up space. I think it's going to be a lot of small interchanges, quick one-twos on the edge of the area. I think it's going to be a lot of dribbles. And I think it's going to be moments of brilliance that gets, once you get past Højbjerg and Bentancur, you've then got a bloody line of five, right? And I think that's why it's going to be a lot of, I think you'll see a lot of interchanging movement from Arsenal to try our best to drag people out of position. And I think that's what that relationship with the likes of Zinchenko, Xhaka, Martinelli, it's the rotations. So, because, yeah, I just don't think there's going to be space in behind then, like we've had in other games.
And then very quickly,
you've conceded the fewest big chances in the league. I think you've conceded six all season. So, you know, like it's very difficult to break you down.
And very, yeah, it's very true. And then very, very last thing on your lineup. So Mike's asked, no Tomiyasu?
No, it's the biggest compliment to Ben White, right? Last year, Tomiyasu, I think, was in our top three players of the season. And at the start of the season in the FPL community, everyone was thinking, what's going to happen when Tommy comes back? What's going to happen when Tommy comes back? Ben White, the tactical versatility he gives us. And he's a player that is quite underrated outside of Arsenal circles, I think, in terms of, yeah, if you're watching him week in, week out, what he gives us both on and off the ball is brilliant. And yeah, the biggest compliment to Ben White is just we're not missing Tomiyasu. And it's one of those positions where we didn't have this last year. We had a lot of single points of failure. Whoever plays at right back, I won't lose any sleep over. But I personally think that's White's spot locked down at the moment.
Yeah, I can't imagine the morale in the dressing room if White gets dropped for Tomiyasu after all season long. And Tomiyasu, again, I think he'd be like a bring him on at the end to shut up shop if we have to kind of thing. He come back early from international duty? It feels like Arteta's learned something from Fergie here. Obviously, Fergie never let them go, but all of our players seem to kind of go for the first game and then fly back under agreement with Arsenal to get rest. And, you know, the Brazil boys didn't go. So, this is really irritating because everything points to us like preparing for this game, like having players back early. So I don't know if I can stomach a loss.
End in flame. Can't
exactly. I don't know. Yeah. It just feels like it's going to be like that first win in 12 years at the Emirates and I'm going to fucking be there.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'll pay for your ticket next time if it happens. Definitely.
I'll be the bad luck jinx. Yeah.
Right. We need to get this shit off the screen. Hold on a sec. There we go. Go on, Baker.
Well, we don't know about keeper, but we're guessing that Hugo is going to be okay.
That said, you guys have got history with Fraser Forster, so yeah, we'll have him in if he needs to be.
Exactly. Played pretty well at Emirates.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to see him in the lineup. It'd probably be worse.
I think Saka will conveniently get himself injured in the warm-up if he sees Fraser Forster again after last time. Unbelievable. Romero, Dyer, Lenglet or Davies is a close call. That's a close call at the back there. You know, we'd like it to be Lenglet. It's a much more progressive team in how they pass with him. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes old man Davies for this game. We're expecting Royal and Perisic in the wing-back positions. Bentancur and Højbjerg.
You are expecting Perisic. Sorry to interrupt, because I've seen a few debates on that.
Yeah, I think it's big again, just big game stuff. I think is he can do. You know, Cesc has done a good job against Salah a couple of times now. And you know, if he thinks that Saka's the big target that he's got to work with, then Sessegnon is a very, very good defender of it. And he will stretch Ben White more for pace than Perisic. He's quicker, quite simply.
Maybe that's what pulls Davies in. Actually, I know we've got a lot in here, but maybe that's what pulls Davies in, because if he plays Perisic, then Davies has got support for
exactly.
him.
Yeah, and I feel like that probably does. I think it's
you kind
almost...
of almost shift into. You can shift into a four. I know it won't be a four, but you can shift into a four. Emerson can drop in, and then you have Romero, Dyer, exactly. Davis almost blocked. So, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah. I think your biggest chances of attack will be the kind of Kulusevski laying it off to a Perisic overlapping run, and then Perisic crossing it straight onto Kane's head to get past Ramsdale's bad positioning, as you said. So
you've been dreaming.
I can just
best.
See that.
You've been
dreaming.
Just make sure I'm willing it into existence. Yeah,
I can't wait for this to happen and we clip that short.
I'm Nostradamus here. You're going to see every type of goal is going to happen.
I just don't think. I think that Ben White can shepherd Sessegnon out of play. I don't think Ben White can stop Perisic from crossing the ball. I think he's got way too much to stop him. Nobody can really stop him crossing the ball. He somehow manages to just get enough space to put the ball in. But I think is you play Perisic because not necessarily beat the man, but just get the space and get the ball in. And Kulu, I think, is an absolute must. I think left back is the weakest part, but I think it's even more important when you're face if you can have a left-footed right winger and then you're taking him on who's not great defensively, but you're also taking him on in his wrong foot, then you've got that's a big way in. Because also is you're taking Gabriel on his wrong foot as well. With that right. So there's no part of me that says you don't play Kulusevski, because he should be the best asset for us, really, is coming in on that side. What do you do about it? And then obviously Kanan. And Son has to play. You know, Richarlison is all about chaos at the end if needed and what you need. Yeah. One way or another, defensively chaos in terms of just riling stuff and
I think that's what Son, I mean, not in the same extent that Charleston will do it. And you're right, that would be useful in the last 10 minutes of a game if we are winning time. But I think Son needs to maybe take a more positional approach the way that Richarlison does, rather than, you know, he's been finding himself caught out wide, a little bit too wide, and they've been occupying some similar spaces when they're playing together, Perisic and Son. And it kind of negates Son's good qualities of taking the ball in front of him. And he's basically taking the ball a lot more often with his back to goal, turning into trouble and breaking down attacks that we really need to. And just, you know, we've alleviated some pressure on the back line, of which we know that we, you know, we absorb and we, you know, we spend a lot of time there. And then when it's been getting to Son in games previous, you know, we found that he's, you know, losing the ball, breaking that attack down, and then we find ourselves back under kind of pressure again. So we need him to be collecting the ball with his face, with him facing goal and finding space between between Ben White and Saliba, and really giving him a run.
I think in the big game, like, people think about Son being good in the big games, and one of the reasons is that teams play a higher line, the better teams too tend to play that, which obviously helps him. But also because, like, we line up as 3-4-3, we attack as 4-2-4 effectively when we're in possession. But when we're out of possession, we play as 5-4-1. And the Son does go into that left channel. And so many of the goals that he scored in big games are him breaking that exact channel we just mentioned between the centre back and the right back. You know, the City goal last season and the season before, the Liverpool one, and the Liverpool one where we went at the keeper and hit the crossbar, all those ones, they're all from that exact same position that he's already started a little bit further left than he normally would be. I think it just works really well for him. So Suns for us is the big one. If there's a player that you think is could really exploit them, it's that. And then Kane likes playing Arsenal, so
he does, very annoyingly he does.
Cool. Let's move it on to predictions, and then we'll do some FPL stuff, and then we're already at like 50 minutes. This was always going to be a long chat, but we want to try and keep it, you know, hour and a bit max. So let's do some predictions and then let's move on to our FPL stuff. So I've got here, you know, a little space where we can enter our predictions. Conte and Arteta there. So we'll start from the bottom. We'll work our way up. So Nima, your first North London derby live. What do you think will happen? Score.
I'll tell you what I think and what I want. They're different things.
No, what straight I think, up. No, no. Straight what I think. Up.
So what I think, if I was being realistic, is 2-2. That's like what I see here all day.
That's it. Locked. Locked.
Yeah, locked. When we get to the FPL section, I'll say what I want because you'll see who's in my starting 11.
There we go. Locked in. 2-2. Well, that's a good start for us because I thought we were just going to be simply just like saying our team's going to win and off we went. Clayton, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll do that job. 3-2 to the Arsenal.
That was the alternative.
It's when you put the in front of it.
Proper football club.
Need to replace Woolwich with the. Get it. Right, go on then, Baker.
Woolwich Arsenal.
Oh, you're not going? Me? Oh,
okay, yeah, I'll go. I will also sit on this here. Go. I think it'll be. You said it'd be a thriller. I think it'll be a tight game, actually. Yeah. Arsenal will have a lot of the ball. They'll create no chances whatsoever. It'll be a tight game.
That's the clip. That's the soundbite sorted.
Sorted. Job done. Baker?
I've just got to be full. Tribal 4-2, us.
Fucking hell! you got to stick some money on that one.
4-2. Okay. Kane hat trick.
I love that. I was gonna say, when do you see us scoring four goals? I mean, but Leicester doesn't really count, does it? As a game, you can't benchmark Leicester as a team where that's where you expect to score goals, or that doesn't tell us that we're going to score goals in future games. Not when
so. These
got...
are real predictions, right? These aren't what you want. These are real predictions.
Yeah, these are what we think. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think. I think that
to be fair, let's. I'll just roll it back. I've, and Baker might put a bet on this because I remember one Champions League campaign. I think it was the 2019 season actually, when we had Dortmund, and he'll say, "Oh, he just went. Oh, that's all right. We're going to win 3-1," and he went and put £10 on it and won £180 or something like that. Just
fair play.
Just
there
nowhere,
are ones so. Where you feel like there's a battle here, and I feel like it is, and I can see Arsenal scoring early. You go out the blocks so much quicker than us. And Conte's done it at Inter. He's done it with us. When it doesn't quite go right is when I like him the best. It's your man that you want in the corner. He's the man you want in a fight. And he just has an ability to push and then it goes. And I can see the game being 2-2, but I feel like once it goes that way, you just... is chaos. And I'm just going to keep saying it that I don't think Ramsdale's good enough for Son and Kane, Kulusevski, but I feel they'll hit corners. Yeah.
Cool, we'll take it.
And as that, we're going to lose probably 3-0, but you know.
We'll take it. We're winning on aggregate anyway by the looks of it, so that's good.
Yes.
Good work. This is why you went last. Yeah, cool. So we've got predictions in there. We'll make sure that's all clipped and everything. So, and I'll screenshot it and send this out. And yeah, so moving on to FPL. So what I wanted to do first was just have a quick look at the teams that we're talking about today. So just a couple of stats from the FPL tail of the tape. So this is based on what your teams are looking like that you've sent to me and what my wildcard looks like at the moment. So what's good is that we're both beating you in OR, so that's good. So Tottenham fans better than Arsenal fans at FPL. Good start.
1-0.
1-0. And but like all of our points have been coming from Arsenal players, unfortunately. Although not as many as you. So at the moment I have no players from either side actually in the game. So I have to watch it with zero FPL consequence, which is actually probably a nice place to be. Baker, you've got one of each. Nima and Clayton, you have three Arsenal, no Spurs. Full tribal queue, basically.
Playing three Arsenal this weekend, boys?
I haven't made a transfer yet. I've got the triple attack and I'm on wildcard 13. So I'm looking to slowly move off that. And I think Saka to Madison.
You're taking out an Arsenal player for the North London derby. Let me just make sure we're...
Yeah, I think those that know me, like, I do not give a toss about FPL when Arsenal are playing. It's two different brains that I've got. And I'm sure, I think we'll talk about FPL decisions later. But I've got three right now. I've got Perisic first sub, and it was kind of waiting to see what you guys thought about predicted lineups, because like I said, I saw differing opinions on that, whether he'd start or not. I've got the triple attack, but probably will be on two.
Fair enough. And you've got Gabriel, haven't you, in there, Neymar?
Yeah, and he's starting for me at the moment over Andreas home to Newcastle.
Let's just rewind this back. Look at all the clean sheets that we've predicted, Neymar.
Well, that's what I was saying to you, what I think is going to happen.
Goals, thriller.
Yeah, it's two Gabriel bullet headers, that's what it is.
So that's the thing. So in my mind, I'm basically just thinking, he's not going to get a clean sheet. But then as long as he gets the goal and not Saliba, I'm the winner. So I'm thinking to myself, a lot of people are buying Saliba this week. He's like in the top three most transferred in, risen to nearly 5 mil himself. I feel like I went the wrong coin flip at the start of the season when I went Gabriel over Saliba. So I'm kind of hoping Gabriel can claw back some points here. I do think he's the bigger set piece threat, in all honesty, in terms of he's done it for a longer period. He got 5 goals last year. I think it was the most of any centre back in the league. Saliba, one of his goals was like on his weak foot on the edge of the box, curled in. So how sustainable that is, you tell me. His assist, the ball from a corner smacked him in the face and landed at Gabriel. So again, both of them are having very lucky returns. His most recent header from the near post across the goal, that header, okay, like, yeah, Saliba has that in his arsenal. But I still think that, you know, like, why do I have Gabriel if I can't play him at home where I claim it to be a fortress? I know I predict 2-2, but in all honesty, what my heart wants is like a 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 smash and grab, Gabriel goal, 10-point double-digit return, sending you both abusive messages in the group.
Which will happen.
I have a lot of delusions there. Yeah, I know.
So what else I was looking at how many points that we've picked up from our respective Arsenal and Spurs players. We've picked up more points from Arsenal than Spurs. Although I have had Kane and I had Son last week, so that helped.
Okay, does that include Kane, Cap and Son? So
Kane, Cap,
40 of your 60 points were last week.
Last week.
Nicely timed graphic. Yeah. No narrative spun.
Absolutely none whatsoever. I genuinely didn't know how this was going to spit out, because I hadn't looked at the teams when I decided I was going to do this graphic.
Yeah,
I genuinely hadn't. When I had done it, I enjoyed it. Put it that way. That's fine. So yeah. So of all the North London points that I've picked up, 55% have come from Arsenal, 45% from Spurs. You can see the other 73-27 for you, Baker, and you guys have just been completely neglecting Tottenham.
Full neglect. Full. Good.
I did have Perisic the week that James was ill. I bought Perisic, played him.
He benched, came on, and got a point.
No. So I think he played, and then he'd conceded, but he was on for bonus and he got a yellow and wiped his bonus.
Oh, I did. That was...
And it was really in the 90-something minute he got a yellow card. And then the next week, James was back. So I just did Perisic back to James because he wasn't predicted to start. So it was like this 1 week rodeo I had with Perisic.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. So that was just a little bit of fun.
A
little bit of fun. And then teams. So I have no idea whose team that is. So hold on a second. That's yours, Clayton. So you say you're on wild card at the moment. Is this how you're?
No. Oh Jesus! If that was a wild card, I said I'm bad at FPL. But
oh no. This is sorry.
I'm wild card 13.
Oh, so you're wild card 13. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. So I've got the captain on Salah. Like I said, I've got Saka, Martinelli, Jesus. But I just think three Arsenal. So I actually went three Arsenal attackers because of you guys at the start of the season. What you're saying about two XG teams, and it was kind of banking on it, but I thought we would become a two XG team in that run anyway with the fixtures. I think now for the upcoming run, I just think three is overkill. Although I'm predicting three goals on Saturday for Arsenal, I just think over the next few, Liverpool, Leeds away, then a blank, I'd like rolling to Madison, to be honest. And then, looking to just gradually move off it. I've got it on Salah captain at the moment because I've watched and read a lot about the new Brighton manager, having never heard of him before. And James from Planet FPL did a brilliant analysis on how they kind of set up in possession. And it's banking on him implementing his style. So I don't know if he'll go to Anfield straight away with how he set up Sassuolo before, but it's kind of banking on that. Because if they set up in that kind of box four in possession, and I don't know if you've seen any of these videos, they literally just, they'll stand there for 20, 30 seconds waiting for someone to make a move and try pass their way directly through you. I think Liverpool with Matip back, Thiago, I just think that could be a recipe for goals. And yeah, I'll probably get hurt again because I did that going Salah against Holland. But that's my logic at the moment.
Cool. And then on to you, Nima. Let me get your team up there. So there we go. That's you.
So I'm a famous 3-4-3 kind of man. And yet here I am starting Gabriel at home instead of Andreas. I know that Andreas has lost some of the set pieces to Willian. He does still have some, but I'm not convinced. Like Newcastle, Bruno Guimaraes is back. It looks like Callum Wilson is back, but obviously wrapped in cotton wool. I'm not convinced like Fulham away from home. Sorry, they are at home. I'm saying normally away from home, they're not as good, but because they're at home, that's what makes me think maybe I would still bench Gabriel. Because as you see, like I'm predicting a 2-2. So unless I think Gabriel's going to score one of those two goals, it just seems mad. Equally, I have Trippier. I have Mitrovic against Trippier. And then I'm like, do I want double attack against Trippier? Like, so it's all a bit of a clusterfuck. As you see, I've got Ward. I've had him from the start of the season. And I'm hoping that between now and my wildcard in Game Week 13, he's going to get his first clean sheet of the season at some point. If he doesn't get dropped for Iverson, that is. I'm going to roll my transfer. No transfers. And I think next week is like where I'm looking at something like Luis Diaz to Zaha. The week after in Game Week 11, I want to get onto Kane for the Game Week 11 fixture for Spurs. So that might be a week where, you know, the likes of kind of Cancelo and Jesus might make their way out in 11, or even Haaland if the value that I lose in my team doesn't matter as much. And then KDB back to Salah in 12 and wildcard 13, here we go. So I have a plan, these plans never work out. Inevitably, loads of people will get injured and my whole plan will change. But I'm very confident of the Haaland captain. I have no regrets there about not owning Salah. I think those who have him, though, I would be very tempted to go with that ownership captaincy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Once in a lifetime, let's say.
Yeah, definitely feels like it. Definitely feels like a big opportunity. And you know, you said it to me, Baker. It's an ownership play. Of course,
it is an ownership play. I do think, just from our perspective, for Clayton and for Adam, because there'll only be one here. But if whichever team loses the North London Derby, and then you've got a 3 o'clock game and Salah blanks, just be understanding that your Saturday is not going to feel the nicest Saturday going into Sunday with Erling Haaland at about 150%. Like it will be a test of your mental strength.
I triple captained Trent in 26 last week, and he didn't even make the squad in the first game. So yeah. I am absolutely...
Oh, that was painful. That was, wow.
Baker will tell you, 2.5 minute voice note that I left him on WhatsApp. I was absolutely fucking raging. I was so angry. Literally could not believe it. And then Salah scores the squirmiest fucking goal you'll ever see straight down the middle of the pitch. Like, they just like open the fucking Red Sea for...
Yeah,
Baker, your team.
That was a tough week.
I'm over it. Clearly, Baker.
Speaking of captaincy, so a couple of my mates, one of them actually bought Son last week, and then he captained him.
Good man.
So imagine how they felt when obviously like they're waiting for the Spurs lineup. They see no Son. Everyone else's captain has returned that week. So yeah, just talking of like how that must have felt, and then the roller coaster. My God, like 19 point captaincy.
Oh,
I mean, we had it. We all had it, I think. If we cast our minds back almost 3 years with Salah away at Palace. Remember that? Because we all captained Salah away at Palace in December, and we were like, oh, he's going to get a rest. And didn't we get a leak after the deadline? It's like, oh, he's not on the pitch. And everyone just went, oh, well, everyone's captain, so it's all right. And then he comes off the bench with 25 minutes to go and scores 6 points.
Yeah. I remember I didn't captain him that game. I can't remember who I did, but yeah. And then I heard he was rested. I was like, yep, I've won that.
That was Phil. On vice versa, you'll have a very, you could have for anyone here, for Clayton Adam, your team could win the North London Derby and then you get a Salah hat trick and hey, you won't care about what happens Sunday.
Like, I will just take Salah getting sent off if Arsenal won on Saturday. I could we not give would. A flight.
No, agreed. I will happily take Salah being sent off for Tottenham win.
Mate, I'll take a 10 million game week rank if Arsenal win.
But first, your team, Baker, what are your...
Yeah, my decision is actually, so the one that you've got, you've put Martinelli on the bench. Martinelli won't be on the bench for me this week. He's playing up against Emerson Royale. You can't bench anybody playing Emerson Royale. But I have got a weird one of who do you bench? And there is that strange world, isn't there, of Mitrovic versus double Newcastle defence, where I'm like, do I bench Trippier? Because at the moment, I've got Zouma first bench. But like Wolves don't score at all. Like no. You're not going to play a defender at home to Wolves. When the hell are you going to play them? So
if you don't like the double Newcastle defence, why don't you bench Pope?
No.
If only you had Ward and didn't try to.
I'm just saying, like Iverson's there. You've got Iverson there. If he doesn't play, obviously Pope comes in, and then so and it is what it is. But if he does play, then he's going to be better. He just cannot be worse than Danny Ward. So,
but I think the problem is it still doesn't help him get Martinelli on the pitch,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh no, that's true.
It doesn't help him with that. Yeah,
I'm trying not to get Martinelli on the pitch. That's the thing.
Yeah, and Martinelli's coming on the pitch, mate. But I've got a decision.
You could bench Kane.
No, Kane is definitely playing. So yeah, I've got a thing between Zouma and Trippier. Zouma's still quite a boring pick, isn't it? I mean, you are just hoping for
what's his ceiling
set list? Piece.
Whereas you're hoping for a goal against, like Wolves. Yeah, that's basically the logic there, right? Because if they don't keep that clean sheet and you played him over Mitrovic, you are going to be fuming.
Oh, no, I'm playing Mitrovic. Mate.
Oh, okay. Mitrovic.
It's just whether I go double like you say, is I'm playing double Newcastle defence and a Fulham attacker. It's weird. You know, is whereas I've got the option of going, say, I can just hedge my bets.
Yeah.
With play Pope, play Zouma, play Mitrovic. But yeah, it's a dull week for me. Roll a transfer, work it out next week.
Cool. And then me.
You've got a fun week.
Yeah, I've got a fun week and I've chucked some fun picks in as well to keep it really fun.
Is this your current draft?
Yeah, this is currently where I'm at the moment. I'm liking this.
I like that.
So I've got Pope in goal, Trippier, Cancelo, James. No Trent. There was a graphic I think that you sent me, Baker, about like chance creation, all about Salah, but the amount of times that Trent is the second assist or the assister to the assister, it's crazy. And without Mane at that back post versus Diaz, I just think that he's evidently not getting the assist that he had in the previous season. He exploded against Bournemouth, obviously, but and I don't trust them not to concede either. So not fully anyway. So midfield, I've got Foden, Madison. I've got at the moment, I've got Sinisterra and Salah. Foden is a Zaha placeholder, as well as, you know, I need to move, I need to obviously move players out for game week 12. Sinisterra obviously in for Martinelli.
Sinisterra, so they are, I've just noticed, no Martinelli, no Arsenal at
no
all.
No Arsenal at all. No. Tough set of fixtures. I mean, I agree that Arsenal have looked good, but the fixtures they've had so far have been there for them to play good football. So, you know, they've got blank coming up. They've got Liverpool and Tottenham. I don't even know what the fourth game is. What's the fourth game in that group?
It's Saints and Leeds. I can't remember what way around.
Leeds away, Leeds away.
Leeds, fine. So, yeah. So, anyway, it's a tough set of four. You know, I'll look to try and get them. I'll look to try and start bringing Arsenal back in from 13. Assuming they don't, like, fall off a cliff completely. If they have an absolute shit show the next four games, then I might reconsider my position for game, trying to see what happens for game week 13. And then I've gone obviously with Haaland, and I've got Mane and Tony now, which is nice. And I'll plan to move him along in a couple of weeks' time. And Big Dom Solanke. Gehi dropping is nice. I mean, I've still got 0.3 million in the bank at this point. So, you know, I've dropped Iverson in there because I think Ward will get dropped. If not, we got Pope anyway, so it's fine. Andreas is just a lock in there at 4.5 million. I'm not going to play him against double Newcastle defence. I like that too. Yeah, so I'm quite happy, and it's a bit weird because next week I flip everything on its head and everyone's like away from home and shit, so it's a little bit different. But yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. I mean, I did think actually whether I was going to just I might on Friday do some tinkering around, and I might just jump onto YouTube and see if anyone's here to give me some advice and stuff. I might just sit here while having a beer, just checking some stats, doing some planning for future weeks as well. But I have looked at, I mean, this obviously, I have done some like future week planning in here as well. So, you know, I've made my chances here. Zaha's in, and then I go following week, and I've got Mitrovic in. And then Mitrovic and Solanke in 12 with Haaland and Casella on the bench. Yeah, I don't mind it through this. And I've got to say, like you with the Palace defender, like you just got to play him at home to Wolves.
You've got to play a team at home to Wolves. I always find it funny. You definitely take much more risks than me, but you also do a lot more planning than me. Like I look at all I ever look at is the list view on the app, like because you get the next three games. That's just
I've only done four games. It's not like I'm planned out to the World
but
Cup.
But I never do this stuff where I'm like, oh, who am I moving off my bench and do this stuff? It's like this is yeah.
Well, I was sitting here waiting for you pricks to turn up all late, so I have a bit of extra time.
He's got to do something, yeah.
Mate, you got to wait for the tea to brew. You got to wait for the tea to brew. Right, boys, cool. We are going to beat you on Saturday, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, good
say
luck.
Say that with more confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think good luck is the phrase. May the best team win. Yeah, may the best team win.
Absolutely not.
That will be Arsenal. We play football. You play rugby or some shit.
This Absolutely. Is the beauty of it, is that you will dominate the possession. And still lose the game. And you'll be like, I don't understand. Yeah. We dominated the possession. We had the ball. And it's like...
Can't wait for FTV. And on that note, we'll see you later. Cheers, boys.
See you later, boys.
I'm above average.
Sports Social Podcast Network.